Well, we thought before about this Christmas, didn't we? And I asked you what was the greatest gift that you had received. And, thank you. Sorry? I really hope that I can show you this morning that the greatest gift you can have this Christmas or any Christmas is the baby Jesus. I want to try and convince you to scrub out whatever you wrote in there and to write his name instead. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to try and do. I hope that doesn't offend you this morning, because I think he is the greatest gift that has been given, that can be given, that could be received every Christmas, indeed every day of the year. So let us just consider briefly this Jesus of Bethlehem. We've read of him. We read how his mother and father had to travel to Bethlehem, and how that was the place. So here is Jesus of Bethlehem. And we've started with this year. I want to ask you about next year as well. I want you to think not just about this Christmas, but the whole of this year and into next year. So have your Bibles open in front of you, if you have one, if you would like to. That will help you and me at Matthew chapter 2 as we study together. And between the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 in Matthew's Gospel, there's a gap. We often forget this when we read our Bibles. And we read at the end of Matthew chapter 1, Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And then the next thing we read about in Matthew's Gospel is the visit of the Magi for the wise men. And you have to know your Bible to know that the whole of Luke chapter 2, or most of Luke chapter 2, actually fits into the gap between Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2. Luke records the normalities of a Jewish birth. He records a trip to Jerusalem when Jesus was 40 days old, and Jesus is presented in the temple, and a price is paid, for he is the firstborn. And the Old Testament law says that the firstborn must be redeemed, because the firstborn belongs to God. How appropriate, because of course Jesus Christ does belong to God in the sense that he is God. Then the family returned to Bethlehem, presumably to Joseph's family, where they had intended to stay, but there was no room for them. And they take part in family life. The likelihood is Joseph gets some work as a carpenter and starts to pay the bills. Admittedly, the bills those days were a day's bread in advance. That's how you lived in those days. But they settled down in Bethlehem. And it's getting on for 2 years later when the Magi come to Jerusalem. They'd seen a strange star. It had appeared at the time that Jesus was born, and they decided now that they'd seen enough and they must go and visit. Do you know, I don't think they were idle in that time. Have you ever wondered what the Magi did with that time? Between the time when the star appeared, and why did it take 2 years? I don't think they were idle. You got the impression from Andrew in the words he read to us. They were most diligent in their research, I think, in their stargazing, in their looking at the old records. They were probably Persian Magi. And in the records of Persia were people like Daniel in the Old Testament. And there were prophecies written there and recorded there from the old times of the Jewish people that would have told them a great deal about the meaning of this star. I think they got into that research and understood that. And this passage actually sets up this action of the Magi, this careful research, in opposition to two other groups of people. You get Herod, who's actively opposed to what he sees. You've got the Magi in the middle, who are carefully searching it out, and you've got the chief priests on the other end, who are a bit like this, really. And they can't really care two hoots, and they'll answer when they're told, and so on. So the Magi are in the middle, set up in opposition to these other two people. You know, the amazing thing is, even if Herod hadn't asked them, they would have done what he wanted them to do. Do you remember what verse 8 says that Herod wanted them to do? It says, go and make a careful search for the child. But that's what they were already doing. That's what they were about. That was them through and through. Herod's instruction is irrelevant, because that's the mission they were already on. I wonder what careful searches you've made this year. Perhaps you've had to do that for work. Perhaps you're a student and you've been carefully researching maths, physics and chemistry, or geography, history and art. I don't know. But what careful searches have you made this year? Have you reviewed this year? It's the end of the year. Have you come across one of those review quizzes in the newspaper? Have you tried your hand at one of those? I tried my hand on the BBC 52 Weeks quiz on the website this week. Oh, dear. I mean, I'd worked out that... Oh, hello, there's a screen missing. There we go. I'd worked out that Steve Jobs was into calligraphy. I knew that one. I don't know if you did. But I had no idea that Prince Charles has the title, He Whom the Cows Love. Did you know? Did you know that one? I pity our royal family, some of the things that happened to them. Well, the Magi at Christmas are asking us, are encouraging us, are showing us that we should be making a careful search, seeking to understand the truth of what has happened in our lives in this past year, the truth of what happens at Christmas. What do we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus. Indeed, the Magi encourage us to follow them in the search for the truth about Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to see Jesus, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to work out where he is and what's going on. But we see and hear him in the Bible. He's not with us today. He's gone back to heaven. So we see and hear him in the Bible. But we also see and hear him in the good things that are done to us and for us, because good things come from God. And I wonder if, as this year draws to a close, you have thought about all the good things that God has done for you this past year. The Bible says very clearly, God is the giver of good gifts. And we, as his people, his creation, ought to give thanks to him for the good gifts he has given to us. So I wonder if you've done so for this past year. Have you been relieved of sickness or disease? Did you have a week-long, 2-week-long, 3-week-long summer holiday, which was wonderful? Or did you just remember one night as you saw the sun go down and it was utterly glorious? Have you given thanks to God for the good things of this year? Perhaps you had some good exam results. Perhaps you had a new job. Perhaps you became a Christian and got baptized. Just had a fresh understanding of the genealogies in the Bible. One or two of those you've reported to me as actually having happened this year. Have you given thanks to God? Have you reviewed this year a careful search? We should worship him for giving us good gifts this last year, as the Magi do. So what will you write in the box on that sheet that says this year? What will you write in there? The greatest gift you have received this year. What blessing have you had? Perhaps you could write more than one. But again, let us not just concentrate on this year, but let us think about next year. The visit of the Magi is very forward-looking. Think about how they had to look into the future. They had to go somewhere, do something. I wonder what you would like to happen to you in this coming year, next year. Do you want to ask God to be gracious and bring you good things? It's a good thing to do. What might you ask him for? What would you write in the space on the sheet that says, next year? If you could ask God for one thing this year, what would you put in that box? You know, the birth of Jesus Christ is a dividing point. Looking ahead, we can go one of two ways. We can follow the Magi as worshippers of Jesus, or we can fight with the opponents. I mentioned before the two types of opponents, those who fight openly and those who do nothing. But in truth, by doing nothing, they resist the truth of Jesus Christ. Bishop Ryle was right. Bishop Ryle, if you don't know, was a great preacher. I often quote him because he's in my spiritual ancestry. He, on a mission in Liverpool, was responsible for preaching on the day that I think my great-grandfather or my grandfather was converted. So I often read him. But he said this about this passage: not always those who have the most religious privileges who give Christ the most honour. It's not always those who have the most religious privileges who give Christ the most honor. Herod had access to the most knowledgeable religious leaders. He was the appointed king of God's chosen people. But he doesn't want to worship God. He doesn't want to acknowledge the baby Jesus. He wants him dead. And then there are the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Ryle goes on to say about them, there may be knowledge of Jesus Christ in the head, but there is no grace in their hearts. That hurts, doesn't it? They knew about Jesus, but they were quite prepared to sit back with their arms folded. I know what it says there, but I'm not going to do anything. Do we read anywhere of the high priests actually getting up and going to Bethlehem? This was their king. This was their Messiah, prophesied and now fulfilled, and they're there. No, they're not there. They're back home with their feet up, worrying about whatever else they think is important. They're not bothered. That cuts me to the quick, that one. Because there are oft times I think, am I like that? They knew the answers of Scripture. The Christ is born in Bethlehem in Judea. They even knew to quote the prophet Micah as proof, but they won't worship baby Jesus. They will do nothing. Neither of these groups are like the Magi. A careful search, a journey of 800 miles. That's what it is. If we assume they're from Persia, it's 800 miles. It's probably 40 days. What spiritual diligence. And then on from Jerusalem to Bethlehem itself. Can you imagine the number of times along the way they could have said, oh, well, we gave it a good try. And we went home. And then from Jerusalem to Bethlehem is the most wonderful moment of supernatural intervention. Until that point in the story, the text seems to suggest that the star is just another star in the sky. A phenomenon, yes, but a star in the sky. But after here, in verse 9, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. You may have seen fanciful impressions of stars literally moving along the sky and coming down to rest on the top of the house. That's not actually unrealistic from the words of the text. The words of the text here imply something weird, wonderful, unique, indeed something supernatural and divine from God. To guide them, not just to Bethlehem. They didn't turn up in Bethlehem and say, excuse me, was there a baby born a couple of years ago? Can you imagine how quick that search would have got them anyway? This star took them to the very house, we're told. And it was special, unique, and wonderful. I don't know how. I don't know whether it fell out the sky in the direction of the house, or I don't know whether it hovered over the house in a very low orbit as the sun was setting, you know, something that actually could be explained scientifically, or whether it truly was a miracle and it floated down and landed on the house. I don't know. But the text says it was weird and wonderful, and it identified the house in which Mary and Jesus were. If that wasn't miracle enough, then inside they find a mother and a child and they worship him. I don't think we realize how amazing that is. Mary is, at this point, just like any other mum with a two-year-old. Some of you are mums who've had two-year-olds. Can you remember how that was? It wasn't pretty. Well, it might have been occasionally. You know, unexpected guests when you've got a two-year-old running around. That's how it was. But into that normal situation, they knew that Christ was come, that Jesus was special, and they worshipped him. He wasn't wearing a robe or a crown. He was probably running around. And they knew, and they worshipped him, and they brought out their gifts. Do you know what the word here is wonderful? I don't know, young people, do any of you have a treasure box? Youngsters, do you have a treasure box? Yeah, some of you do? Okay, well actually the word here means treasure box. That's what it means. The Magi brought out their treasure chests, their strong boxes, the places with lock and key where they kept their most precious possessions. And they bring out the boxes. Sometimes they would have been kept in a hidden room and nobody would have seen them. And if they wanted to get something out, they would have said, well, you wait there and I'll go in there and unlock it and fetch something out to you. But they brought out their treasure boxes into the presence of Christ and they opened them up and they gave to him those wonderful gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi will follow Jesus, knowing that he is God's greatest gift to the world. As stargazers and wise men, this is the highest point of your career. There are some people who in the last few weeks have had the high spot of their career as they've spotted new subatomic particles in the Large Hadron Collider. And this is what they've been looking for years. All their scientific life, they've been waiting for this moment, and they've got one. I don't know what it is. They think they know what it is, and maybe they'll prove it in the next few years. But they're there, they've got it. You know, Nobel Prizes will be won. Reputations will be made on the work that's done in the next couple of years. This is their moment. This is the greatest moment. The high spot of their life, but can it be the high spot for you? Can it be the greatest moment for you? Will you follow their careful search for the truth about Jesus, for the good things from God? Perhaps you want to. But perhaps before you commit your way to him, you want to know a little more. You want to be sure that you're going to follow the right guy. Why and how is Jesus God's greatest gift? Are questions in your mind. And Micah's prophecy answers that. Verse 6 of our text. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, I've got on the screen in front of us Micah 5, verse 2. You can look at the quote in the Bible if you like. In that one verse quoted from the Old Testament, we see that Jesus is God's choice of leader in both style and substance. God chose the nature of Jesus' life, the style, and the nature of Jesus' leadership, the substance. Jesus will come as a baby to an out-of-the-way town. He'll grow into his role. He will minister to his people by walking alongside them. He won't rule over them, administer them, be a tyrant like Herod. He will be a shepherd leader, we read in verse 6, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You know, in Herod's day, in Jesus' day, a shepherd walked out first, often singing, I won't demonstrate, or calling, and his sheep knew his voice and followed him. And you know, it's like that. This is God's greatest gift to us, a leader to follow, a leader who sets the way, a leader who calls graciously, beautifully to us. The question really about next year is, will you follow him? Will you search diligently for his way? Will you follow carefully the guidance he has given, even if it takes you into the unknown? Think about what the Magi knew and didn't know, and yet they went. Will you follow like that? Indeed, think about Joseph and Mary. They had to go many places unknown or bidden just at a moment's notice. You know those wonderful gifts given by the wise men? Everybody thinks that they're wonderful and they're kept. The most likelihood is that Mary and Joseph had to sell them in order to escape to Egypt. If you think about it, as a refugee, you end up selling most everything in order to achieve, to keep your life. Will you go? Following what little you do know, will you follow this shepherd leader, this Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, this one worshipped by Persian wise men, but not his own people? His very birth calls out for you to give your next year to him and to worship him. And when you do that, you can expect good gifts. Because if you choose to accept his call on your life, you'll be one of his people. He will love to bless you and build you up, and one day he will grant you a place with him in eternity. You know, if you did that now today, then perhaps this year's best gift would be knowing Jesus, and next year's even more. What will it be? Will you follow him? You have to turn away from apathy. You can't do nothing like the chief priests and follow him. And you have to turn away from your selfish desires. You can't be like Herod, me first, and follow him. It has to be a careful search for the truth about Jesus, for the good things from God. Yes, even into the unknown. Do you need to begin by reviewing this year and seeing how God has blessed you already? Do you need to decide now for next year that you will seek to go on with Jesus, or to join up with him for the first time? Perhaps you'd like to make that decision today, and I'd encourage you to talk to somebody. Talk to me after the service. Talk to the Christian friend who brought you. Or if you prefer to do things privately, a little bit more careful research on your own, There's a wonderful little notelet on the table over there, naughty or nice. Which list are you on? It takes that famous, I'd nearly called it a carol. It's not a carol, is it? It's a Christmas sing song. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Well, it starts with that. But it takes you to some very important questions about you and God and Jesus Christ. Have a read. And I hope you will come back and talk to me afterwards. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this account of Christmas. We thank you for the baby Jesus, the greatest gift from you. We thank you for the careful search that the Magi made, looking for the truth, understanding, wanting to understand and know more, worshipping the baby Jesus and being obedient to you. Father, we acknowledge that it's a challenge, a dividing point. Will we with them worship you, or will we oppose you? Father, help us to think this through and to understand today where we stand with Jesus Christ. We pray that this Christmas we might all know the greatest gift of all personally, Jesus Christ as our Savior. We ask this, our Father, not for our sake, but it would be great, but for your sake and for your glory. Amen.